We have Angela Magana here.
Hi, guys.
So, Angela, you have extensive accomplishments that I've seen on your sponsorship package. So I'm not going to even try
to
dwell into who Angela Magana is. But if you can kind of go from beginning to end, bullet point out your career, because it's pretty intensive. And then I'll jump in where I came in.
Okay. So, yeah, I've been fighting since 2005 professionally. Going on 20 years now as a professional
athlete. Well, you started
off
with UFC.
Yeah. Well, no, MMA, which, you know, started MMA, and then I was signed to the UFC later on.
But, what year did you get signed?
I don't remember.
You don't remember what year? Such a great accomplishment.
Maybe 9 years ago. So how many years ago was that? No. 9 years ago, I was signed to the UFC. And I was with them for like 4 or 5 years.
How was that moment that you got signed? Like, how did that happen?
So it was a tryout. You had a tryout. So it was the Ultimate Fighter reality show.
Oh, so that's how you got on.
Yeah, I went and I tried out. So like the first round of it, you have to do like some wrestling, and I tapped a girl out a few times, and then you have to you don't actually do any live sparring, but you punch the pads and you kind of show what you have. And then the oral interview is what I did the best on.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, and so then they sent
me
back.
What kind of oral interview?
I made sure I had my knee pads. You know, those are interview shoes. I had my interview shoes on. Don't worry. Just kidding.
For those of you who don't know, me and Angela are really close friends now. And fast forward, we're very inappropriate with each other.
Oh, yeah. I'm warning. I am not politically correct. I'll try. Like, under the UFC banner for so long, we couldn't say, like, even, like, the word, that's gay or that's, I'm not going to say these things. But, like, when we grew up, it was fine.
You're still scared to say them.
Yeah, like, retarded. You can't say that.
Yeah.
Like, you can't say these things.
I don't think anybody that says retarded is probably going to get frowned upon.
Yeah. Well, it's
it slips. But you know what? Back in the 80s, that was like a thing to say.
Yeah.
There was no terms. Those terms weren't a thing of today. And so, yeah, you get in trouble. You got to be politically correct.
I would even be eating out and my daughter would say something or people. I'm like, you guys cannot talk like that in public with me. Like, I am under code of conduct. And you know, I actually got in trouble once. So Beck Rawlings, she's the one, now she's with BKFC, to just bare knuckle. We're really good friends, and we were on the reality show together. So like the only way I could describe going through something that crazy, because it's like fancy jail. Actually, you have more rights in jail than you do on a reality show.
Yeah.
TV
the
set.
Politics in jail, well, no, they're very protected.
Well, no phones.
Yeah,
no books. You know what I did?
What?
I
bought, hold on, there was no phones in the reality show?
No, you're not allowed to talk to nobody.
How long were you secluded?
8 weeks.
Dude, no wonder why you got into
all the drama. They want the drama. You
cyborg.
You ask. Well, she wasn't there, but you ask for like some organic coconut water. It takes them 2 days. You want a bottle of tequila? There in 2 minutes.
What?
Because they want the drama. They want to record that, and they want the drama. So I mean, even on the reality show, daughter.
You were on there with Nico?
No, Nico was on a different one. I'm the one who actually hooked Nico up and got her on the next one. I talked to the producers and I told her what to say and what to do to be liked.
Nice.
And I kind of helped her out. I kind of coached her through that. But I even got, like, this is kind of funny. We're going to go on so many different roads here because
have ADHD, so yeah. Let's just let it flow.
Yeah. So, like, I even got served. So my daughter's father, when she was 12 when that happened, I was living in Thailand. And so he had me served on the show, tried to have me served with custody papers on the reality show. Yes.
You know what? Guys are jerks, man.
Yeah.
When it comes to that shit, like, and then
so I can't call home. I can't call nobody. He's like, I'm going to get the FBI after. Like, they had like these threats. And I'm like, I can't call. I can't figure out anything. I'm just stuck on this
dude,
film
you
set.
You know how I've gone through it too, publicly.
God.
And it's like, anytime you're going through it. I mean, they just use that and just drag you through the dirt. And it's like, at some point you're just like, fuck it.
Yeah, well, you know? And then so he tried to use this as like a ploy to get me to settle. He was like, I'm going to do a DNA test. And I'm like, oh, I wish I didn't know who my baby's dad was. Like, that would have been great. I mean, so my daughter's calling me, get this, while I'm about to walk on stage at Fox Sports for my weigh-in against Michelle Watterson. And my daughter's calling me, is my daddy not really my daddy? And I'm like, oh my God, this is what I have to deal with before I get on stage. And I'm like, no, babe, it's just a game. He's playing this and that. Like,
oh my God.
So yeah, it's
don't
just,
you love it when your kids call and you're like mid doing something so important and you got to answer. And it's like something so stupid.
Yeah.
They're like,
I mean, for her, it wasn't stupid.
There's no more mac and cheese. I'm like, dude, I'm about to like,
Or the yard's flooding as you're like over there dealing with a dying patient. Like,
yeah.
Oh gosh.
That was another thing you've seen that happen. Yeah. God, it's been crazy. Okay. Go back.
Okay.
So after you're signed with the UFC, because you're now pro boxing. So I need to merge the gap.
Okay. So really quick, MMA fighter, professional MMA fighter, professional boxer, professional kickboxer. I was in Thailand for a few years. And I was actually, I made my favorite thing about all my accomplishments is I made the Olympic team in Puerto Rico. I was trying to go to the Olympics, but I was injured.
I remember that.
Yeah. So, and that was funny because it was like the year 2020. So I was like, if the queen can't go to the Olympics, nobody can. And then COVID came and nobody could do the Olympics. So I was like, oh shoot, I can manifest a lot. No, I'm joking.
Yeah, it's not my fault. Did. But and then you had your injury, which was in.
So I had it. No, I don't even remember. I had the injury of long. I felt.
You don't remember man.
I don't.
You gotta do more stem cells.
Yes, please. No, but I don't recall things by year. That's not my thing.
Yeah.
Especially now that I live in Puerto Rico, we have no seasons. So I'd be like last summer, two summers ago. It's always summer. So it's like I have a weird time. I'm really bad with time. I'm not as bad as you.
No, I know you're bad because you'll just go MIA for like 4 months and then all of a sudden you pop back in like, hey, I'm coming down. And like, you didn't even call me when you come down. You just show up. Like, I'm here. I landed.
I know where you're at. I keep tabs on
I'm at In-N-Out. That's how I know you're here.
Every time, huh? I forgot. Every time I come.
Every
I
time you land, you go straight to In-N-Out.
It's nostalgia for me as a child. But yeah, no. So So back to my injury and how we became friends.
We'll talk extensively about this injury because honestly, once you became one of our patients, I had no idea until I met you in Vegas. And even then I couldn't fully comprehend until this day. I still can't fully comprehend because I see you doing back bends and, pro fighting. And I can't imagine you bedridden.
So I was, I fell 3.5 stories.
How did this happen?
Spine.
I want to hear the drama, dude. You got drunk. Tell me everything.
Yes, I was really drunk. Okay.
There was a party.
It was at a bar in Durango, Colorado. Interesting thing.
Colorado.
Was, yeah. I lived there.
So was right it was it cold? Was it,
It was
snow?
September 3rd. So it was like Labor Day weekend. Mm. It was my grandfather's birthday, actually. God rest his soul. So I fell 3.5 stories. The really funny thing is the bar that I fell from on the side of it is a huge mural of Jack Dempsey as a fighter like this. I'm like, how ironic. This is where I fall of all places. When my ex went there and he saw the place, he started crying. He was like, I can't believe you survived. Like, it was so shocking. And he just could not stop crying.
So 3.5. Okay. So it was sub-level.
3 stories. So it was 3 stories up. But then where I fell, it was like sub-level.
Okay.
So
that's why because you say, ground. You keep saying like 3.5.
Yeah.
I'm like, where's this half coming
because
from?
Because it was like I said, it was kind of underground. Like it
how
went
do you
down.
Fuck, my God.
I don't remember any of it. So for like the whole like week or two when I was in the
hospital. So you got drunk. How did you fall? You were like leaning over.
No. So I'm like really cool and smart. And I jumped on the railing to like slide down it and went over the other side.
Oh my God.
That's where I have this huge scar on my face from, on my head.
Okay, so you fell over, ambulance comes.
I don't remember anything. So, I even had cops messaging me.
So what
me.
Do you remember? Sobering up at the hospital? Like, I mean.
No, so get this. I met this beautiful man. Just a soul. Like
man,
a
that
soul.
Sounds like multiple.
Man. But no, I said man. Met this beautiful man. His name's Clint Holmbeck. Love you, Clint. Thank you for saving my life. I was hanging out with him. He was a bartender there. It was his apartment. We were hanging out, going out to, I don't know. Maybe smoke some weed. I don't know what we were doing. Uh-huh. Anyways, and I did that. And he was like, oh, fuck. And I fell. And then he said, as soon as I fell, a bear walked right by me. So he couldn't go in and call 911. He had to wait.
A bear was down
and
there?
And I was all bloody.
This
yeah.
is the first time I'm hearing this.
Yeah. So a bear was there. And so he was like, he had to wait for the bear to clear out before he could go and call.
Cause it's my God.
Yeah. It's Colorado. Like, the bears are all over. They like to go in the trash cans and eat the grease and stuff. So...
Dude, they would have been licking the grease off you because
I'm a greasy bitch. I'm a greasy. I sweat a lot.
You know you're fucking, you're in the States. You're eating all kinds of greasy shit. Yeah.
So he had to wait. I even had cops and ambulance people like messaging me afterwards to see how I was. I'm a firefighter, crazy. So I've never done that. I've never reached out to a patient and been like, hey, are you okay? Like, it was just so traumatic for everybody.
This is the first time I'm hearing that. And I'm like, whoa, there was a bear around you. Yeah. Whoa.
So, yeah.
You know how I feel about bears? I got like bear signs in my house. Beware of bears.
Could you imagine falling and then getting attacked by a bear or something? Yeah. So he made sure that didn't happen.
And then he called 911. I'm assuming.
He called 911. Yeah.
Like,
so I have a picture of me actually like in the ambulance, like my laughing, like smiling and my skull exposed.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So you hit your head first.
No, it was a compression fracture. So I hit my butt and I bent my body in half and I...
Okay, so let's talk about the injuries of what was physically documented because that's... When we get you as a patient, that's all we see is like MRI reports.
I'll have to give you all my reports. Though,
okay, so the reports... I mean, I know you had stenosis
I had a compression, full burst compression fracture of L1, L2, and L3 were completely gone. They tried to fuse me back together. They literally had the helicopter going ready and they were putting me... I said, you fucking... put me in just because they were going to fly me to Denver for emergency surgery. I was like, you fucking put me in surgery. I'll have all of your jobs. So like the first thing that I wanted to do when I found out I'd shattered my spine was walk. Because in my mind, I didn't realize, I was kind of more ignorant back then, that it, like, you have to sever the spinal cord. So I'm thinking, broken back, I can't walk. So the first thing I was trying to do was get up and walk, and they didn't let me do that. So that's pretty much the extent of compression fracture. So like my vertebrae were burst into hundreds of pieces.
So you were at that time signed with UFC?
No. This is okay, before. So this was a different call. I was a free agent then. I think I'd only had 2 fights by then. I've had 24, I think, by now. So like I only had 2 fights at the time.
God, that was early on in your career.
Yeah. So that was early on. But that ended up screwing me up later when you met me.
Yeah.
Really bad. So they said I would never fight again. Like every doctor, nurse would go in there and I'd be like, so when's the next time I could fight again? Because I had amnesia for a week. So Clinton, the guy who helped me, he stayed in the hospital the whole week and then I never saw him again. Oh no. And then he came to my house when I had the nurses at the house and he helped me. It was just like an angel sent to take care of me. And then I didn't see him for like 15 years. And I just saw him. I reunited with him the other day.
Just the other day?
Like in Colorado, like two years ago. And it just so happens he owns a bar and he was like the doorman. And I heard he was owning that bar because I asked about him. And I just walked up and right away he knew it was me.
That's crazy. Yeah, you don't ever forget somebody falling off a 3-story building, almost eaten by a bear.
No, but just like,
it's not like he's ever going to forget you. I don't think anybody forgets
once
you.
Once they meet me, they don't. They either love me or fucking hate me.
Okay, so fast forward. How you got from USC to pro boxing? I mean, you had this injury.
Okay, so I ended up that injury ended up creeping up on me later on, and I had a discectomy. So they went in and they shaved off my discs that were bulging and they were going to put a cadaver disc in. But the doctor was like, I've never seen this. You actually grew your own disc back. We didn't have to do it. I was like, I'm like Wolverine. They're like, I've never seen anybody grow their disc back. Like I said, they had to put a cadaver disc in most people. I grew mine back. But after the surgery, I was worse than when I broke my back.
Yeah, I remember.
I was worse.
So you're bedridden.
I was bedridden for
this time.
I thought it was 6 months. I think it was more like 7 or 8 months. Puerto Rico, where I live.
San Juan, Puerto Rico.
That's where I live.
Okay.
And
you have the now Team La Perla right on the beach.
I had Team
right
La Perla at the time too.
Okay, so you still had it. And you have your partner Gabriel that was running everything. And then you were just bedridden.
Bedridden.
I mean, that's what I heard. That was a case I got from one of Travis Wilson Green Beret.
It was Joe, the injector that we have now.
Yeah.
Jose.
Yeah. And he found out through me from them.
Yeah.
From Travis.
Well, he came to Puerto Rico to scout it out for a wrestling thing. And because of what I do in the community, and they're so grateful to what I do, they were like, I can get you some stem cells, Joe. Mm-hmm. And so then he got me under the Green Beret Foundation, and then I flew to Texas mm-hmm, to get the stem cells.
I remember him. I remember the conversation I had with Travis Wilson, and he said, hey, I really think that, you know, you do the donation for the veterans, but I really think you should do this donation for Angela Magana. I hadn't met you, didn't know who you were. You know how I don't look people up. So
yeah.
I was just like, that's fine. I'll do the donation. He's like, I really think that this would really help Revive a Cell getting out there.
Yeah. And I'm better than anybody. Like, I helped Revive a Cell more than any other person. Just kidding. Any other patient.
Have. And the crazy part about it is when that happened, fast forward, I mean, you were fighting.
Within a year. So I mean,
you got our logo on TV.
Yeah.
You were the first person.
I was bedridden. Like, I literally had to brush my teeth in bed. I had to eat in bed, everything. And I was on gabapentin 800 3 times a day. And now that's nasty, heavy medication.
So when we got you, had stenosis of the spine.
Yeah. I had a failed back surgery.
You were on meds.
I could barely
walk.
Yeah. I had muscle relaxers, painkillers, and gabapentin 3 times a day, which I'm one of those weirdos.
You had a med up to fly in.
Yes,
to,
I had. So I had to go to
I
the
think,
doctor.
Where do we do it? Dallas, Texas.
Yeah. So I had to go to the doctor just to get tons of medication to be able to fly there because I wouldn't have been able to make it.
Yeah. So then you flew in. You got my stem cells.
And it was only 2 cc's.
Down. Yeah. You only got 2
ml. One in my back.
Which is, I think, like 16 million cells at
it was
the
nothing.
Time. I mean, back then, the product has changed a lot since
Oh, my
then,
God. It looks
I
so mean, different now.
I
and,
know.
And the doctor's protocols were so different. Like,
they
I'm
were.
Like,
they
seeing
were.
The stem cells sitting out. Now that with my training, I'm like, dude, those cells are losing the viability. What were they doing?
Yeah. Back in the day, man, I mean, that everything has changed since.
Yeah.
I mean, regulatories came in and they're all about viability. So handling has changed. Yeah. So thaw and post-thaw
and
instructions, you know, everything has changed. And then not only that, but back in the day, they were putting it in the IV bags. Now they're doing direct
push. Oh, that
push.
Was so dumb.
And so, I mean, even with all of those
they're
messed
still doing
up
it.
Protocols back in the day that have now been fixed, you got results in how long?
Within 2 days, I was. So I went from.
I mean, it was a period of time. How long was it that I met you in Vegas after that?
Okay, so it was the end of January, and then we met in Vegas. It was only like 2 weeks.
It was like 2-3 weeks or something like that.
It was only 2 weeks.
I remember. Only 2 weeks. So I didn't talk to you at all. Because you're a very quiet person. You don't reach out. You weren't. Yeah, it was I'm going to do this donation. I didn't follow up with you. I let the clinic do all of that stuff.
And then we finally talked.
And then you were like, I need to meet this girl. I need to find out who she is. I need to.
Yeah.
And then you were like, invited me to Vegas to.
For the red carpet gala.
Yep. The red carpet gala, which is a human traffic event. So I was like so stoked to go to this because I'm all advocate for that. And then, so we went to the gala.
Yeah. I was also filming that movie that we were doing.
Hold on. Was that the same time that Nico Montano got?
No. Wait. Treated? Yes, it was.
So you also told me, hey, by the way,
another- I have this UFC fight. And that's how we got the UFC to approve that back then. And then we had to go recently back and be like, hey, jerks, get the approval of you the guys UFC approved Institute. This already.
Yeah.
You better approve it again. And it's not. It's
with not USADA. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
so what happened
within 2 days,
so
I had that happen. And then we had some fights that weekend, which I couldn't work. I wasn't going to work it. And all of a sudden I was better. Like literally within 2 days, I would say 100% healed. So like two weeks after that.
I mean,
that,
for you, it was a drastic, I mean, like, I don't like to tell patients or any of this other stuff that people ask me, like friends or people I meet, like, oh, how long do you think my spine's going to be better? I'm like, I don't even want to comment on it. I just say like, everybody's different. This is what's to expect. Because when you start talking about other people's results, it sounds like snake oil.
Yeah. You sound like a salesman.
I'm like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to even talk about
it. I'll do it for you.
But, but you have been a very big advocate. So fast forward. Okay. So you went, you were walking up and down the strip. You were like,
well, so my feet got more tired before my back. And that was like, for me, so this is what I like to tell people. When I was in such a bad shape that I was like, because back then, like, only thing I could look up was Joe Rogan talking to, what's his name, Mel Gibson, about stem cells. That's all I could
Panama
find.
Panama Stem Cell Institute.
Yeah, and we know how crap. Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever. We'll leave that for another day. Anyways,
we'll talk about it.
So I was like, if I would sell every property I have, every investment portfolio, to give up every dollar in the bank, if I could just be pain-free. Because I know if I'm pain-free, I can rebuild
You didn't have in your mind that you weren't concentrating on fighting. I think that point you were
concentrating on walking, sitting normal.
Walking and just getting to the gym and try to run your business.
No, not even that. Just being able to sit and be comfortable. Okay. Being able to walk and be comfortable. That's all I was wanting. And because I was in bed and I was like, I didn't want to be a burden to anybody. I literally had suicidal thoughts. I wanted to kill myself because I can't be a fighter anymore. I can't.
That's your whole life.
Yeah. When I already knew not to define myself by my work, because when I broke my back the first time, it was like, if you can't do what you love, you must find the love in what you do. And I learned that the hard way, because a lot of people define themselves, especially athletes, by what they do. But what happens when that's taken from you? What do you have left? Nothing, if that's how you define yourself. So I had to really do a lot of soul searching. And so this was, and so the crazy thing is like, I get it. And it was donated. I didn't even have to give up anything. So it was like, It was a miracle for me.
It was the best thing I ever did, was donate that therapy.
Thank you. No, within 10 months.
And you became a really good friend. You stay at my house now. Like,
yeah.
You drive everybody crazy.
They love
all
my
kids.
But my crazy.
You got my kids in MMA and we're going on double dates now, single.
But my crazy loves your crazy. Your crazy loves my crazy.
Yeah.
So it's
perfect. I understand it. I mean, I have my boundaries. We're different, but we're the same in some ways.
Yeah, definitely.
Because, like I nerd out and I just like go into my zone, or sometimes I just become like super strict and just like, hey, I got to work. Shut the fuck up.
And I'm like, okay, bye.
Yeah. And then you're all of a sudden coming with coffee. Do you need anything? I'm like, you're like the perfect, like, alternative to my life of what I need. Because, and then sometimes I'm crazier than you.
Oh,
we
yeah.
go skiing.
Like, yeah.
And I'm like,
I had to like calm
crazier.
You down. I had to be like, okay, Raquel, you busted your knees, to stop doing that. Okay, Raquel, don't be mean to the girls getting water.
I'm extra when I'm around you because I'm like, oh, ain't nobody gonna fuck with me now. I'm already.
I wish a motherfucker would.
Then when it's like two of us, I'm like, oh shit. Yeah, it's total chaos. But usually you're like trying to hype me up. And then I'm like, now you got to come down and finally see single Raquel. And it was like a whole nother ball game.
It.
It's like the military side smashed in with science.
And single and like,
yeah.
And a mommy.
Yeah. And a mommy, 5 kids.
Ooh, yeah,
and you do incredible. It so well. The funny thing is like, you're the best guest because like you come in and you understand.
Yeah.
You're like, damn, she's like.
Dude, yesterday I was like, that's probably the busiest day I've had in so long. It wasn't even a busy day for you. You didn't even have any patients. I was like, holy shit, this is the busiest day I've had in a long time. Screw 5:30 a.m. biking.
So I wake up typically. Okay, so my typical schedule is 5:30 a.m. cycle. Okay, on the days I do cycle, I don't do cycle every single day, but 5:30 a.m. cycle. And then I come back home and I get ready immediately for work. Nanny shows up, you know, early, early in the morning. So she's like taking on the kids waking up. Yeah. I don't even take that on because there's no way I can do it. Once the kids see me, they're like, mommy, mommy. And it's like, there's no getting out.
Yeah.
I mean, no, you've seen it this morning. Yeah. So it's like, it's delayed. It'll delay me 2 hours. So then I get ready and I hopefully on that day, I'm just throwing on scrubs. So yeah. Even if there's no patients here, nothing like that, I'm like, dude, scrubs, being lazy, throw my hair in a bun, throw a hat, and no I'm bra. Going to work.
Just kidding.
On some days. Nipple pasties on some days. Nobody knows, though.
My niece has a good trick, so her dad
Hold
would
on.
Make her wear...
No. Squirrel.
Glitter glue. Put it on there. Glitter glue. Or just glue, but she had glitter glue.
That's
I was
not
like,
gonna
oh my
glue
God.
My mother's nipples down. Dude, these are breastfeeding nipples.
Like AK
glitter
bullets?
Glitter glue is not gonna get these nipples down. No, I had a mastectomy, so they actually redid my nipples. Don't forget, I had cancer.
Oh, yeah.
So
oh, yeah.
I went through all that stuff. Yeah, but I don't have the typical, I guess, 9 to 5.
No.
My life is like not anything far from average. And so after that, it's like go, go, go. And I think because of the ADHD, maybe because I'm high functioning of whatever you want to call it, because you've been trying to diagnose me of everything since you came here. But doctor just says I have ADHD. Okay. But I will say it is a very genius mind, but it just goes and goes and goes. Mm-hmm. And I just keep creating and creating, even for other people around me. I want to create. I mean, like, you're like, why are you taking this on with some of the fighters?
Yeah.
I take a lot of shit on. I'm like, damn, I'm like your promoter. I'm your manager.
Yeah, dude. Like, why are you doing the sponsorships for these people? You didn't even got time to fucking for yourself.
Because I when I take somebody on in my life, I love them and I want to give them all the resources that I have. And I have all the boxing resources.
But so have to remember, you can't set yourself on fire to keep others warm either.
And I do set myself on fire because I'm a ball of fire. I am. I'm like, and I love being on fire.
But you can't keep everybody warm all the time.
But I do lack my sleep. And I know that sometimes there's delayed responses. I mean, the other day I went 48 hours no sleep because I was just work. And now that I've been single, it's like even extra time for me to work.
Yeah.
It's like it's more my focus. Addiction. Yeah. My addiction is work. I'll fall asleep here.
Where's Heaven's thing? My mom's favorite thing to do? Work.
Yeah. She wrote it on the board and it's like, I love it. But my kids see that. They're you know, I do cut out the time for them. So even though I work, I get home. You've seen, I don't relax.
No. It's a good example though for them. It's not like, bad. Don't ever feel bad about that. I used to feel bad too. Like, 'cause
I'm
a single
mom. 5, 6, you know, typical, sometimes 7, you know, but then I get home and it's like kids. And then on the days that I don't, because, you know, joint custody. So on the days that I don't have them, I'm like now finding myself again. And I'm like, what am I filling that time with? I think my family thought I was going to go crazy and just go partying, go like, oh my God, it's been years since she's had all these kids. Yeah. She finally has time. What is she going to do with it? I'm like, I'm going to study.
You didn't sleep.
I'm
going to
read a book.
You should have slept.
I'm going to do some research. I'm going to be 40 now. So it's much different. I'm working out, I'm still waking up early and I'm so dedicated that even if I don't have the sleep, I'm not going to cut out the cycling because I didn't get no sleep.
See, me and you are complete opposites that.
I'm like, I'm getting this shit in because I dedicate to this. So I'm a all or nothing type of thing. And that's why sometimes you don't see me dedicate myself to certain things. Cause I can't
give it all.
I can't give my all. I don't want to
go
do
all
it.
In.
And I'm a perfectionist in everything I do. And so, that's just some of my personality traits, but I'm like that with you too. Let's fix this. I mean, like even with the logo, when I first seen the logo over Team Apparel, I'm like, let's fix a little.
Oh, you guys did. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, whoever, so, that one person helped us.
My ex.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know how we would, I don't know.
The UX designer. The sperm donor at this
sperm
point.
Sperm donor. Yep. That's what we call
That's
him.
What we call our exes.
My daughter's.
I got father. A couple sperm donors. Should open up a sperm bank.
You could. No.
It's another business.
Let's look
I'll
into
stick
that.
To cord blood banking. Yeah.
We can't get stem cells out of sperm. I'm just kidding.
Definitely not injecting those by me.
Oh, dude, I have. So, like, you know those facials?
I'm gonna start
sperm facials now. They're supposed to be really good for you.
What?
Swear to God,
I'm not doing that shit.
You have to have, like. Yeah.
Could you imagine it all smells different?
STD.
Pineapple.
Just kidding. So my friend did that one day. We're like, we're at a bar and she was like, here, she got
I
a can't. Cup.
Honestly, when you said that, I thought of all the STD patients that we treated here at the Institute. Yeah.
No, they have to be clean. I'm like I can't. So in Hollywood, like here in LA, they do them a lot and they make sure that they test these people, but they're using not like your husband's sperm. Yeah, they're not
using your husband's. What do you mean? You never know when your husband's sperm's in the sperm bank. They're probably getting money on the side.
No, no, I'm saying, no, I mean like you go in and you get a sperm facial. It's not from your husband. It's from some donor. And
yeah,
you get
who's a facial. The donor?
I don't know, but they do these. So
yeah, it's probably some bum that they're giving $10 to.
I hope.
Don't ever do that shit, Angela.
No, I'm not. No, so my friend, we were like, she has this one, this mask maker at home. You can put the drops and it makes you a mask. So we're like out and she was like, dude, I almost peed myself in the bar laughing so hard. She was like, here, I need some sperm. Can you take a cup? Can you go to the bathroom and do it for me?
She did not.
Oh, yeah. Dude. She was like, fuck these guys. You know how they make us feel as women growing up? And the guys are like, oh, I don't, like, got all weirded out and freaked out and made me even laugh even louder. I love making men uncomfortable or anybody uncomfortable.
All the time.
But, yeah, like,
that's you all the
time. They were like, oh, can you do it for
that's
me?
That's why I laugh because it's like the whole dating scene is like, you know, your personality just comes out and it's like, how is this going to work?
Yeah.
How's this going to go?
Because we'll figure it out.
We both can't help but just say how we feel.
Of course not. I'm not responsible for what I'm only responsible for what I say, not for how you take it. That's what I have to tell everybody. Yeah. The thing is, there's so many people walking around like pussified. I call it the pussification of America, who can't handle direct communication. They wither at the sight of direct communication. Oh, you mean? No, I'm telling the truth and I'm direct. It's a start of communication.
You're like unlike anything I've ever seen in this world. I gotta say, you're like a fucking unicorn, dude. You're like, we call you Mangela. Mangela.
Mangela.
You
Mangina.
Go next door. So we have a fight institute next door. I sponsor some of the fighters.
Aguirre Fighting. Actually, it was like Joe Stevenson's guy who brought him up. Like very, very good. Like,
he's some of the best. He is a big ass guy, dude.
It's like 300 pounds. Like,
dude, he's pure muscle. When he comes through here, he's like, and he has the coolest Costa Rican accent. And he's always like, Raquel, what do you need? Whose ass do you need me to kick? I'm like, fucking nobody's. You're going to kill them. I don't need you to kick anybody's ass, dude.
He's a great trainer.
He's like the softest person, but he's just so amazing. And he's always there for me if I ever need anything. He's the best business neighbor. So yeah, we have fighters right next door that are always coming over here, getting IVs, getting all kinds of stuff. They actually train Fontana PD. And then they do the kids. And so if anybody's local and they're interested, they do amazing stuff. So it's funny because we always have like pro athletes that come here. So I always go surprise them and I take them next door. And
Stitch too, that one day.
Yeah. And you were one of the ones that we took. And now you go down there and you beat them up every chance you get.
Oh, of course. I love it.
It's like, so let's talk about that real quick. So like, what's the heaviest person you've ever tapped?
390 pounds.
Shut
yeah, up. Big, big white dude. Yeah, back in New Mexico.
I seen you trying to take my brother down yesterday and you couldn't.
He stepped on my hair. Cheater.
He's a cheater.
No, like, so it's jujitsu. Like, so I say, like, on my island, I have tapped out every black belt. Some of them are 200. I bust their knees too. Idiots won't tap. I'm like, dude, just.
So who's
tap.
One person that you want to take down? You ever see somebody on like Instagram or somebody and you're like, damn, I just want to get them like.
I don't really Instagram. I don't really go on social media that much. But you? Just kidding.
You have been trying to get me on the mat.
Let's go on the mat for real. We should have all your needs.
You tried to get me in the UFC slap challenge. I said yes.
Oh my God, yes.
I almost did it.
So like,
I was talking to Duto about that. And I said, dude, I almost did it. And then my brother Raul was like, you're not doing it. And I'm like, dude, I'll do it. And he's like, you're not doing it. And you were so stoked that I said yes.
Yes, I was. Was you, Becky, the movie producer? Like, all my hot friends and successful friends were like, let's go.
They're like, yeah, let's do it. I didn't
like,
hesitate.
You have stem cells if we get brain damage? Because it's just standing there waiting for brain damage.
You know, that's a dangerous thing because it was like when I messed up my knee skiing, I'm like, fuck it, I'll fix it. Be back up 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's it's a horrible thing to have that access sometimes.
It is horrible. And then even with getting sick,
yeah,
it's like,
screw it, just get some this ozone.
This new guy that I'm seeing sick, right? And I'm like, fuck it. I'll be good. Take a Myers cocktail, some ivermectin.
Some ozone.
Like, you got access to all that stuff. It's like, you don't get scared of COVID. You don't get scared of shit.
Don't get scared of
TBI. I mean, like, you're carrying holes in the lungs.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Gunshot wounds to the head. I'm like,
you're my favorite story that I want
good
you.
If I get hit.
My favorite story that I want you to post is the lady who had that skin cancer they sent her home on.
Oh, my God. That was
the
like,
hospice to
you know
die.
What it is? When I posted the story on Instagram, they censored it right away.
Yeah.
It was just too much. It was like her whole face corroded and then.
In 3 weeks, she was completely healed though.
Yeah, it was about a month. Yeah.
It was like, no, it was from 0 to 21.
Yeah. And it does very well with wound care. So, I mean, it does a lot. It does.
But you only went into the IV two, right?
Yeah, that was not a direct side. I didn't, but yeah, that was done in Florida. But yeah, I got the picture sent. It was our product. And I mean, I get pictures sent all the time. And then half the time, I mean, when we sell a product, I don't know what it's being used for. It's for research purposes. So, yeah, you know, you sell it to a doctor, they use it, whatever. Like Anderson Silva, it was like when Dr. Balraj did that case, all the tabloids came out saying that he was going to go back fighting. I'm like,
I send
the fucking receipt to the UFC Institute. I'm
like, that's my stem cells.
I'm like, why are you going around me, man? It's my shit.
Jerks.
Yeah.
But that's not the surgeon that died, right?
He is, dude. Oh. You know, the sad thing about his case, and this is just kind of like a little side note for what real people go through, right? It doesn't matter. He was going on the doctors and all kinds of shit.
Yeah, talking he was about celebrity
taught him everything he knew about stem
celebrity
cells.
Celebrity plastic surgeon.
He was using vegetable stem cells prior to me. Oh my God. Yeah. And so, you know, I mean, you've seen it with a lot of these doctors. They're like number one authors. Or
they spin your fat.
Yeah.
they're like how invasive. Cells. And then they give you morphine. And then you're like under, you go under. And
no. Or what about when they're putting, you know, they're like, oh, they're using your product, but then they're injecting in like lidocaine into the knee. And then they call me up like, why isn't it working? I'm like,
you just screwed up the signals.
You're killing the cells,
the pathway,
dude.
With the pathway.
Like, you can't do that. And it's like, please listen to the protocols. But it's like, I can't control what happens in other places. So that's why I ended up opening up the Institute here so that people could come to us because we were trusted. We knew what we were doing.
Yeah.
Too many fighters talking about it. And so that's a problem. Yeah. It's just, I think it's ignorance. They've been doing it 30, 40 years and they just feel like they know what they're doing. They don't want to listen to me. Yeah.
Isaac, this 40-year-old. And you're a woman.
40-year-old coming in telling them how they need to do shit.
The problem is
well.
These old doctors, like it's like trying to use a fax machine with all the technology we have today. They have that kind of training from back in the fax machine
days.
Oh,
you can go and
put
a stack of research papers in front of them and they, you know, some people are just stubborn. Some providers are looking over the wall. They're scared. They want to do it. They don't know how. And then there's others that just...
Or they look it up. It's not FDA regulated.
I had a doctor tell me that he was the regenerative king, and he knew for a fact that that the stem cells, umbilical cord stem cells, could not regrow bone. Oh so I came God. Back. I came back just to be a bitch.
Yeah, because like, you don't usually waste your time.
I wasn't
on
trying
that.
To make a sale with him. I came back and I do a stack of research, and I'm like, if you really want to be the regenerative king, then you're going to read the updated research. And I'm like, and write a new book because he was like a number one selling author, but he was like adamant that it could not regrow bone. And I'm like, hell, and we talked about this with Dr. Jason. It's like, how do you have before and after MRIs showing published public research? This is not published research from like a doctor's office. This is like in stem cell journals.
Yeah.
Showing the evidence, and they just still are adamant. Like, nope, I don't understand it. But I mean, I guess that's like Western medicine turning into functional medicine. We're in a curve of medicine right now. And it's like, people are starting to say like, this shit works. I know
the
somebody
problem
that
is
it worked
that
with.
A lot of these doctors want like customers and they're going to come back if they're healed.
They don't want to sell it because they don't believe in it. Yeah. And some people just don't want to believe in it.
Well, then they had to get stem cells themselves.
Even if it got approved, I think there's some doctors that just would, they're just adamant.
Well, and
they're
that's like, the problem. No. You can even tell, like I said, you can tell a doctor like, hey, this is how it works. It's under study. It's under clinical trials or whatever. And then they're like, it's not FDA approved. I'm like, oh my God.
It's not FDA IND approved. It's under research.
Yeah,
so it's
FDA regulated and FDA approved.
Two.
Yeah, I know that. But so that's what I tell them too.
They show efficacy.
Yeah.
You know,
safety. That's what I told them.
I mean, everything that they wanted for phase one to pass, we jumped through those hoops. So.
How long before phase three do you expect?
Dude, who knows if it's even going to get phase three because phase three is marketing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, phase three is when the money comes, no?
I think what they'll do is they'll call it a name because it's by indication. So they'll say like osteoarthritis. What's a drug name?
Like RX.
Malaria.
Osteo-X.
Yeah. Like malaria. Nobody knows what the hell that drug name is. And when it gets approved, it's going to go so incognito. Nobody's going to really know. And then when they market it, they're going to have you market it for osteoarthritis. And it's only going to be for like end stage, like very minimal. Or, you know, they might say they'll approve it, but it has to be in conjunction with an IND. So they make it where only hospitals could do it.
But what about, are we going to get insurance codes yet?
Like there's already insurance codes
but,
with
I mean,
IND.
Only for hospice,
I mean, it's
though.
Only under the scope of research. No, they have it for like leukemia and like other stuff. I mean, we're already working with like, you know, I guess the World Cord Bank shit. It's like, it's on like, who the hell are they?
Yeah.
I'm like, I know everybody in the industry. Who the hell is there? What do you mean there's a bank that is regulating all the cord blood storage?
Yeah. Wait, you know? So hey, guys, everybody listening out there, if you're going to get stem cells, please, please don't go offshore. That's not regulated. You don't know what you're getting.
Well, let's talk about that. You have Panama Stem Cell Institute, which Mexico. Dr. Ameka is, he was the VP of sales. He's a good friend of mine. And he's an NFL doc. He talks all this shit about them. Actually, I'd probably bring him on so he could talk shit himself. And then you have BioAccelerator, which we've had some of our athletes that have personally reached out to you that have gone over there that have gotten our stem cells. And they just go over there to get some free shit, try it out. It's not the best.
They're going to still get results. That's a problem.
People think you get results with PRP.
Yeah, exactly. You know? But that's like old technology. Yeah. You know?
And then you have
Wharton's jelly. Some people have been doing Wharton's jelly.
Let's talk about CHPSA.
Oh.
Let's talk about that.
Okay.
Because you introduced me to them.
Yeah, I felt bad.
This is before,
I feel bad when anything goes bad
before
people I introduced you to.
Stem cells had came into Mexico before it was even a thing, before Joe Rogan was pushing everybody out over there. I came in. You introduced me to who?
Scott Nelson.
Okay.
Who is one of the one of the owners, one of the shareholders of that.
And he's deeply ingrained in with the fighters as well.
Oh, yeah, because he had a OTM, he was a black belt, he had the on the mat fight shop, and they would like, he was very big in the
He's a nice guy.
Oh, he's great. I love Scott.
Yeah. But
so I introduced him to you and we're like talking and they planned, like you started telling him some of the protocols that we like, wait, what? You guys are putting in the IV bag? Like, don't you know anything? You know? And then they're like, oh, wow, they're very receptive. Him. Yeah. And so then they're.
Well, we were doing it. We were going to do a supply contract. We were going to talk about and then they protocols. Made it, I brought in my scientists.
They made an appointment. I have to show you this message. They made an appointment to come tour the lab. And then all of a sudden they got all the information from us.
And oh no, they launched it and all of a sudden you've seen ads all over the US. Yeah. And then all of a sudden Joe's
with your protocols,
about it,
I'm sure.
Like, and I'm like, no, they're still putting that shit in the bag, dude. I just reached out to him and I'm like, what are you doing?
Oh my God.
Like even then, it's like even if you're not gonna use my product and you're still gonna do whatever, and there's what research is backing their indication. So meaning like when we get a patient and we say, okay, they're being treated for a lung disease.
So you have research papers to show you what to do.
Well, we know what protocol, how much product or millions of cells we need to use on that specific patient. Like, what do they have that, I mean, is showing, you know, the efficacy of the protocol that they're using, right? Yeah. There's nothing. I mean, if you called as a patient and said, hey, I want to see your protocol for treating this, how many millions of cells? They're not going to be able to hand you
any of that shit. They don't even have white papers. Like, they don't even have the biotech. So it's like,
but everybody is following him because Joe Rogan is pushing everybody down there. And then you have all these athletes that are getting paid to do advertisement and they're getting free stem cells just to go over there and promote it. So now that's like the fighter spot. But when you go there, it's a shit in the wall.
Yeah.
Horrible hospital. That
I mean,
like
compared
shit.
To TJ, the institute you're trying to do over there. Oh my
there's
God.
That's bad. I took
beautiful.
You to the TJ Institute. Yeah. That's what the doctor,
I forgot to.
No. I'm trying to. There's so many doctors that I work with.
Cepeda? No.
I'm definitely not. I forget. Oh my God. That is with Dr. Jose Jimenez. Yes, I remember. Okay.
Cepeda.
So he's got the institute down there. The most beautiful place. It's built right next to a Marriott. You could stay there, fly in. I'll be partnering with him. He's going to allow me to do teaching out there. And actually, the reason why I wanted to partner with him is if I could have another studio set over there. So that I can really run my mouth.
Yeah, we can really talk if it's in Mexico.
Like Mexico. But I would still keep it protocol based. I would still extend the research out there and teach the doctors the same exact shit.
Yeah.
And keep the same product that is under IND over there. So it wouldn't change. But I do feel like I've heard of all kinds of shit. I mean, I've heard of them injecting directly through the stomach, like pig stem cells into patient's stomach.
Yeah. That's.
And they're getting results. I'm like, what?
So I was like, I reached out to him like within the last year maybe. And I was like, whatever happened with that? He's all COVID. I was like, bullshit.
Oh no, you were pissed when you seen the ads flying and all that stuff.
I was like,
I think that's when you first got into the industry and you were really trying to promote and you realize how much of a snake this industry is.
Yes.
And then you brought it out to Puerto Rico and the same exact thing. And I was like, you got to stop showing everything.
Yeah, no, so I don't say
people because you were building up, like I built up USC.
Yeah.
USC's head regulatory scientist was my scientist.
Taught her
everything, Dr. Caroline Mosesian.
Oh, yeah.
And she turned around and she built that shit in-house.
I remember.
And then you have another, I mean, I got a lot of people that I can call out that turned around and just rebuilt that shit themselves.
Yeah, and then like using some dodgy product.
They still follow me. They watch everything I do.
Of course,
but,
they want to fashion themselves after you.
Yeah, it's a little crazy because it was like I did the stem cell queen thing.
Yeah.
You know, I started getting called that. And then all of a sudden, everybody's a king and queen of fucking stem cells.
Oh, God, there's one king that I want to be king of.
Yeah. There. Well, we could talk about that. I don't care. I mean, it's a little weird because he's not in the industry. You know, my ex-husband still has Stem Cell King as his handle.
So every time I go online, it's like Stem Cell Queen, Stem Cell King. And then sometimes, I know, our ADD brains, I feel like one day I might accidentally tag him in something because it's all Stem Cell Queen. You know, you just like touch it really quick.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
At Stem Cell, it pops up, it's him to tag him.
Yeah.
When you get that far.
Well, everybody's like, is he in the industry still? I'm like, he was never in this industry. This is never his thing.
No, he was like,
he was never in office, trying to never.
Well, that day, I remember that day that the doctor called and told you, because like before it was like, you know, nearly full tears, ligament tears that you
that was Dr. Balraj. He printed out something. I didn't state that because
I wouldn't state that ever
because I just still, even to this day, I don't have enough evidence to like really come out with a statement like that, research evidence, but he came out with it and he could.
Well, say what it is though.
He said it was a full MCL tear and it fully healed with stem cells.
Yeah. And so Sam was sitting there, I remember, like, there's just no way. I'm like, oh, so you know more than a doctor with the imaging that they have. Okay, Sam. Okay.
No, he tells me I'm not qualified. And I'm like, I no comment. I mean, all the doctors that are running head of surgery at multiple hospitals say I'm qualified.
Yeah, like, that's why you didn't become a doctor.
Is Elon Musk qualified? That's like saying Elon Musk is not qualified.
Yeah.
Saying,
yeah,
I want to talk to your scientists. Yeah. You're not fucking qualified. Exactly. Could you imagine somebody saying that?
The thing is,
that's the most narcissistic thing. You know what he did? You know what? I'll say it. He forwarded my Stem Cell Institute to a narcissist page saying I was a narcissist when I was going through the whole divorce. You talk about being narcissist. I got drugged through it, but I forgave him and I let him move on. I got publicly slammed. This is really the first time I've ever talked about it, but I knew you were going to bring it up. Excuse and me. I don't really care.
I have
the respect that we share our kids together, you know, but it's minimal contact because, it was a really bad divorce. I got to say, it was extremely bad. I mean, I got drugged through it. I mean, went after all my assets, stuff that I had away before him.
And
the sad part about it was, these institutes were treating cancer patients, children. And it's like, this is like nonprofit work. There was so much donation. There was so much money coming in, but so much going out. It wasn't a for-profit really company in that sense.
No.
It's been building and building and putting back in. And everybody that knows me knows that I'm doing this because this is what God made me for. And I'm so adamant that nothing gets in the way of that.
No, I remember that guy that was offering like $20 million. You didn't want to turn the Chinese investor, dude, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And
I won't go to China. I mean, they tried to send me to China.
No, but you were like, it was a good deal. Like, you could have just sat back and took $20 million.
Okay, so our mutual attorney that I no longer give a fuck about.
Yeah.
I don't really care. I'll say it.
Hi, attorney. Is he listening to this?
I don't fucking care anymore. You know what? I didn't get treated good. And so his wife was getting a bunch of free shit. And then when the whole divorce happened, you know, my ex ran over there. And it was all because of the whole JoJo Diaz shit.
Yeah.
It was like, took JoJo Diaz on. And then his old manager, you know, Ralph Heredia, fucking was my friend. I never had anything against him, but I kept it separate. Never talked shit about him to one client.
Of course not.
You know, I kept them separate. They're both my friends.
Like,
Sam was over there sitting, you know, ringside at JoJo Diaz's fight and then ran to freaking Ralph Heredia's house saying, oh, she took him on. She, you know, she's no longer your friend. Like, I mean, he just really wanted me to look bad. And then all of a sudden I see, you know, footage of him over there partying with the fucking attorney and all of them. So it was like they were suing JoJo Diaz for walking away from this situation. But also what it came to light was JoJo Diaz was taking advantage for fucking years from
most
that
fighters
management
most fighters
company.
Are, unfortunately. I'm the advocate for the fighters nowadays because I'm a fighter.
And
I'm
you
a
know
coach.
What, Angela, like Tuto, for instance, the whole lawsuit with Canelo, okay?
Yeah.
I met him at Canelo's fight.
Yeah, yeah.
He was Canelo's promoter.
Yeah.
And I met him at the fight and he still went, even though there was a lawsuit,
He still gets money to this day.
I know.
Yeah.
But you know what? He supports him. And that's the thing is like, JoJo Diaz is a kid still.
Yeah.
He's in his 30s.
Yeah.
And as a manager that made so much money off of him, this is what really rubbed me wrong, is you want him, okay, there's one thing to sue him, but another thing to want him dead and somebody to fucking knock him out in the ring.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
It's super disgusting to me. So yeah, I pulled away. I never talked shit. This is the first time I'm talking about it, but it was disgusting to me. And then he went and, you know, sided with him when Sam never gave a fuck about him as a friend.
No. It's just,
let's be honest, those weren't his friends. He never gave a shit. I knew
to get back at you. It's about you.
It was about me to make me look bad. And then all of a sudden it was like me and all your enemies. I'm like, I don't have enemies. Well, you created enemies.
Yeah, you make enemies for me.
I have zero enemies. I don't care about anybody. No, he went and he like confided with, you know, one of the nurses that I had to let go.
Yeah.
And like all of a sudden he was marketing her, saying she was the best aesthetic nurse in town. And he didn't give a fuck about her. He was talking
crap about her all the time. I remember.
I mean, he talked shit about everybody that he went, you know. And then there's this other girl that had another company that he went and he was over there getting facial. I'm over here getting facials. The blonde? But yeah, he was talking shit about her too. I'm just like, I'm not the type of person to like even talk shit or waste my time on that. Even with him. I mean, you see how I am. I'm like, I don't even want to have a conversation or get into it. I'm like, let's just move on. But I'm also have that like military heart in me where I'm able to just cut off feelings.
Yeah.
They don't linger. I don't play games.
No.
I'm God. Like, all right.
I need some of that.
We're moving on. Let's what's next? And then all of a sudden I'm told I'm a cold hearted bitch. I'm like, dude, do you understand? I'm running 5 companies. I got nonprofits. I got all this shit. I don't have time for that. It didn't work out. Didn't work out. Let's move on. We got 2 kids.
If there's a pile of shit, do you step in it or you step over it? You step over it. Some people like to step in it. He likes to step in the shit. We step over it.
Yeah. It was very evident that, you know, it didn't, I, you know, publicly never wanted to come out. It was embarrassing to me, the stuff that he was posting. So I was like, I'm not commenting on this shit. So nobody even knew that I went through a super bad divorce during this whole time.
That's good.
Like, I'm over here consulting with, you know, terminal cancer patients.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have time to be crying over that. And I did. I wanted to work it out for my kids, but it was like, dude, my whole family's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I can't.
Yeah.
No. I can't do this, you know?
It's tough too, man. I'm just with 5 kids. And
like, yeah. It was a little weird. You know, honestly, when all the drama went down, I just wanted space. And I changed the locks. Distance? That's how I did it. I was like, fucking distance? Sue me. I want a distance. And then he fucking divorced me in 2 days.
Is that how you do it?
2 fucking days. I was like, shit, that was quick.
Okay, yeah. So note, guys, if you need a divorce, you just change the locks. And
I mean, if they're a narcissist, yeah, well, yeah. Maybe because they want a reaction out of you or whatever. I was like, fuck, okay. And yeah, tried to break down my door, so I had to get a restraining order. So that was
somebody went crazy. To jail.
He did go to jail. It's all public, though. So
it's all public. Yeah, Freedom of Information Act.
Don't get your stupid attorney to sue me.
Did you hear that?
You know what? It's just like. I just feel so liberated at this point of my career where I could just say whatever the fuck I want.
I mean, we can't fully speak on the miracles that stem cells. I mean, patients can. I can speak.
I mean,
on the
I just feel like I do what I do is pretty fucking awesome for a living. You know what I mean?
I admire don't have time you for so this much. Shit.
And I'm kind of upset that like I didn't come out and defend myself, but I just didn't have a way of doing it.
No, you don't
want
to redo it. You don't want to put it back out in the public.
No, but it was constant.
Yeah.
It was constant. And then
don't acknowledge it. If patients, you don't acknowledge
no,
it.
No, I didn't. Yeah. But patients were calling in saying, well, what the hell is going on? Like he took the med spa hostage, you know, all of the social media. He took all my websites down. He took all of our emails down. So I didn't have a way of contacting any of my army contacts. Like, I mean, he didn't care.
Yeah.
You know, like he didn't think about like, hey, how is she going to pay for everything? How's she gonna pay for all the business shit, all the house shit, all the kids shit? I wasn't getting child support. Till this day, I don't get child support. Yeah. I don't ask for child support. You know, Heaven's dad was like,
"That's how I was." I was like, "I don't want any child support." But then when I realized,
but honestly, with Mariah's dad, you guys got 5 kids, right? So multiple donors. And with Mariah's dad, I was married to him.
I love how candid you are.
Yeah. I was asking for like $600 a month back then.
And then you get the government involved and they're going to double you.
Him. Yeah, so idiots. They fucked him. And I was like, dude, what did you do that for?
That's exactly what happened with my daughter. You stupid ass.
Same shit happened with Lana's. I wanted to have her on my own.
My headphones
did this shit
off.
Completely on my own. And then he came fighting for custody and then they forced him to pay child support. So I was like,
stupid.
And I've always done it on my own, you know, with the girls. And I have a wonderful nanny that I call my husband.
I love her.
She's amazing, dude. I wake up, I roll out of bed. She gives me coffee.
I love her.
And she's my brother gets pissed because, you know, he handles the payroll. And he's like, dude, why do you have her there so many hours? I'm like, she fucking makes me dinner.
Yeah. She wakes me up with coffee.
She's like, she loves me. She's like,
no, she made me dinner last night too. It was awesome. It was good food.
It was
too.
Nice being single for a bit because she took care of me.
Yeah.
She asked how I'm doing.
I mean, single for a bit? What are you talking about? Are you still single?
I mean, well, I'm not married, but I'm not single. Pretty in love right now.
Oh.
No, he's a
sexy love love.
One.
I love love.
Yeah. No, love. It's amazing feeling love, you know? And it's like, what are you going to do? Hold back because you've just been through so much shit. And everybody, my whole family's like, take your time, do this. And I'm like, you know, I'm already 40, dude. I have 5
good
kids.
Feels
like,
good. Good feels good.
Exactly. You know? I'm going to tell everybody, that's my advice. Never hold back and just be you.
Yeah.
Because that's what, you know, and don't worry about what anybody thinks. Like, you know, this of all people, being around me, I don't let anybody give me their opinion.
No.
Or they can, but it doesn't mean that I'm going to follow it.
Yeah. Oh, there's a saying that I like to say, don't give advice because wise men don't need it and fools won't heed it. So
you always have these cool sayings. Where the fuck do you read them at?
I make most of them up.
I'm like, fuck, they're always so good.
No, that one came from my shirts. That came from my coach. He says that one. And then this is another one. This is one of my favorite sayings in the world. If you want something bad enough, you'll find a way, if not an excuse.
It's true.
So true.
It's so true.
And I don't make no excuses, bitches.
Oh, hell no. You didn't make an excuse when you were like in Vegas and you're like, that's it. I'm going to go back fighting. I'm like, this bitch is crazy. She ain't going to go back fighting. She's just fucking, her back's all bad. She's just veteraning. And then, you know, fast forward, how many months later I was in Tampa?
It was it was from February to November. I fought.
February to November. Yeah. Raul, can you get that picture of Angela Magana that I have? I want to show it on the camera.
So 9 months.
Everybody could see it.
9 months. Post stem cells.
So 9 months, fighting. You were fighting in Tampa as a pro boxer. So no more MMA.
Yeah, I'm going back to MMA. So I just got signed with. I'm signed to Combate Americas, but also
I want to get them. Caitlin Castillo, man.
Yeah, we got to get her stem cells.
I want to get her in here.
Yeah.
She's just. I mean.
Oh yeah, because you all loved her. You love like the Reina del Sur.
Yes, dude. Yeah. She's like my.
Say Reina del Sur.
Reina del Sur.
See, your accent's so funny.
Wow, yo puedo hablar en español muy bien.
Sí, pero.
Tu acento es muy. Gringa. Puerto Rican.
Tú es gringa. Yeah, sí, porque no, like, no dice es, ese. ¿Cómo es está?
Gringa.
Gracias. No, gracias. Gracias. We don't say our S's. Esta, esto.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. Or our R's. Gordo is gordo. Carro is cajo.
Oh, but you're all over. You're so diverse. You're all over the damn place.
Yeah.
And then that was pretty amazing. So we talked about that on Through the Podcast when you went into your first fight back in Tampa as pro boxer. And, you know,
sat
took
by
my
the
family.
Gangsters in the market, and they had the guns out. They're like, this guy's not supposed to be.
Dude, there was this guy, you know, that was, who was a fighter?
It was Kennedy, and, our Trejo, dude.
Trejo. Yeah. So is he signed with you guys or what?
No,
dude,
I wish.
Can you please fucking sign that guy?
I wish. So that guy like has fights
I
that
said,
don't show up on his record.
That guy makes me want to become a boxing freaking so promoter.
That's what I want to know. Why I resent this. How come I have the smallest picture of all your other
pictures? Okay, let me tell you something. This picture is going to get blown up on my wall. So yeah, this is it right here. You're actually,
I love this, the logo there and there. I love that picture.
You're fighting here with my logo on. And this is pretty cool. You had it on your shorts too.
Yeah, it's right there on the bottom. And then on the back is that Revive Cell and on the front. And I have my other sponsors, but that's my favorite sponsor.
Yeah. You love free stem cells. Every chance you get, you come down here like,
I get some
like
more this week, right?
Yeah.
See, you told me I needed them because I can't remember dates.
This is such a badass photo though. It's my favorite. And actually Sam never wanted me to blow it up. I swear to you.
Why?
He was like, it's low quality. It's shit. It's not a good picture.
That's a bad. I had another photographer.
And I'm like,
that's Damon Gonzalez. He's a professional photographer.
This
He's
is my
badass.
Favorite photo. I've always wanted to get a wall decal of this and throw it downstairs.
We'll do it.
I'm going to fucking do it. So while you're here, because you're staying with me for
a bit.
We'll
figure it out.
We're going to go to the place that we go get everything printed and we're going to make that happen. Because I got that sign outside that says make it happen, right?
Yeah.
So this is pretty cool. So this was in Tampa. That was 3 years ago.
2021?
Yeah, it was like 3 years ago. Yeah. I took my kids. And so you guys are in the room, which all fighters' rooms are all steamy and hot. So you go in there.
Yeah, cutting weight.
Yeah, went in there before.
All the paint's peeling off the walls.
Took my oldest daughter, Mariah. So she was in there training. My kids are all exposed to this shit. So they don't want to, you know, hang out with fighters.
Or last night when I took your daughter to jiu-jitsu next door. She's 6 and she is a riot. And she's strong, dude. She's like punching me. I'm like, ow.
She's so strong. You guys together drive me nuts.
She's so small and tiny.
She's strong.
So I took her next
day. Jump over this little boy. And I'm like, oh my God, this little boy doesn't even want to do it. And she was like,
and it wasn't his first day. It was her. She was the only one that was her first day.
She got some kid in a triangle.
Yeah. I was like, whoa, she's a natural. I'm like,
she rolled with it.
Yeah, I'm definitely making sure. That
I know.
She stays
I heard Angela's conversation with her, and she's like, "Hey, so you like it, right? We're gonna go tomorrow. We're gonna keep going this week." I'm like, "Oh shit!" Once Angela, she's been on her man. She's had her eye on heaven. She's like, "She's gonna fight. She's gonna fight. She's gonna fight." And then Jojo Diaz is over there boxing with two boys. You know. And
well, the thing that I was really surprised me because she likes to punch and stuff was that. So I mean, she did the boxing, and I mean, she did the jiu-jitsu, and then I let her have the option. Do you want to do the boxing? She was like, yeah, but she didn't like the boxing nearly as much as she liked the wrestling, which was kind of surprising to me because like kids usually like to punch more than
No, she likes to grapple. She likes to roll.
Well,
she
so does. Like, so there's a thing that I, a theory that I have on grappling and wrestling is it's we're the only mammals who don't wrestle after youth. So like it's playtime. It's a healthy mm-hmm. play. It's a healthy touch, and it's a healthy playtime.
Yeah, you guys drive me nuts though when you do that healthy playtime.
It's healthy. I'm gonna tell you from now. Tell your mom it's healthy.
Yeah. What it's like healthy. Somehow you always end up in heaven's room having a sleepover. You head from the couch to the room and then all of a sudden the room's torn up. I'm like, what happened in here?
The room was already torn
you
up.
You guys are pointing at each other. She's always like, we're in trouble.
No. Like, heaven, you got me in trouble again.
You learn in business. I had to learn because obviously I have nobody's footsteps to follow. It's like,
this is brand new.
Who created a biotech with stem cell manufacturing with all of this empire of what I built? And, you know, I'm getting providers asking me, like, hey, how do I stay compliant? How do I do this? I don't really have anybody. Vladimir Penchenko, who you introduced me to, I love picking his brain when I'm around him. I mean, he's the owner of D-Marketplace. This guy's like Elon Musk of
he created the blockchain. I think he's created, one of the creators of the blockchain.
He created blockchain. Yeah. And I'm like, all the time I'm around him, he said, last time he said, you don't have to take my advice. And I'm like, I don't have to take your advice. Please give me all your advice. He said, money will never be your issue.
Oh, because he's going to back you. No, just kidding.
No, he's just saying that, like, this world, it's doing. Like what I'm doing.
He sees the bright future.
He sees it. And then he knew going into CRISPR-Cas9 technology, he didn't understand the tech. But when he was talking to me about it, I'm like, oh, that's gene editing technology. It pairs, you know, hand in hand with stem cells.
So what was
I'm
he
like,
trying to bring up about that?
He was saying that in Dubois, they have a laboratory over there. And he's like, if you can
I'm trying to get your cells over there with those guys, too.
Yeah. He's like, if you can replicate it. He was like, I know that there's a lot of researchers down here that can back you. And I was like, a month later, I'm like, hey, I need a meeting. I built the whole.
I'm still waiting on that callback for the.
I built the whole project. I got Cord for Life that's going to duplicate this.
Oh, that's how that came to.
Yeah.
Was that from his, like you guys talking that you decided to build out your own instead of buying it over?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so he inspired me, and then I just ran with it. And then later on that day, I did a shit ton of research on telomeres and how stem cells, because they're...
That's what NAD does, too. It extends the telomeres.
Yes, so let me just tell you. So this is how I came up with these guys, these Bitcoin billionaires and all this shit. They are going to Dubai and
they're
Spain
always in Dubai. Yeah.
To lengthen the telomeres permanently.
Yeah.
So they want to stay young forever. Yeah. Okay. Vladdy wants to stay to 120. That's his goal for me to keep him till 120. I'm like, he's already going backwards, right?
Yeah.
So telomeres lengthen, but then the natural aging process kicks in and it goes down. So, right, telomeres are like on the ends of your chromosomes. And so that's like your lifespan. And then it kind of goes back down. So when you do stem cells, you get back like what people say, like, I feel like I get back 10 years. Well, I don't know how much. I mean, but we do see evidence
that
telomeres are lengthened and we can see how long they lengthen. Quite a bit, actually, depending on the dose, right? But quite a bit, they do lengthen. So it is an anti-aging thing. And there's
research on it. Well, that's what
NAD
does, too. That's what I always tell the patients that NAD does that.
But it repairs it. It doesn't really lengthen it like stem cells do. Now, if you come in and you take somebody's actual DNA out and you actually alter it with CRISPR technology, let's permanently alter it. Me, knowing the research and knowing what I know, right away, I combated it. I'm like, look, the scientist in me is going to tell you that we can't do that. And he's like, why? And I'm like, because cancer cells are telomeres that lengthen and don't shorten.
Don't stop. Yeah.
I'm like, why would you want that? What they're doing in Dubai is they don't understand. They're going to give everybody cancer. Yeah. I'm like, well, I'm not doing that. Mixing that with my stem cells. Why wouldn't you just stay on? You could afford it. Stay on the stem cells. And we're not doing that type of gene editing. But it opened up a path for me to actually go into gene editing technology for a patient like macular degeneration that's genetic.
I have macular degeneration. Okay.
So let's just say macular degeneration. Doing stem cells, keep getting the results, but your genetic features are putting you to die constantly. So then you can come in and you can actually fix that. Okay, so these telomeres are not supposed to stay permanently long. It's not, it's just like, why would you want to do that? Right.
I
personally, you know, I feel like every scientist has their ethics. I feel like that's where I draw the line. I'm not going to be making no superhumans or altering certain things, but I'm pretty sure in Korea and China, they will use that tech to change the color of eyes, to
they're already doing
build
that,
the
right
baby there. That they want. Yeah. Yeah. They're already starting to do it, but now you're talking about all these billionaires that want to live forever, or they want to lengthen. I don't know. The Bible talks about, you know,
have you seen that movie, so Death old. Becomes Her?
Yeah.
That reminds me. That's what's going to happen.
I can picture your head going backwards with the big old.
That's what happens there. Like, they became like, they weren't going to ever die.
Potion.
Yeah. They were going to ever die.
This isn't the potion. Oh, it can be. Yeah. They can put it in the potion because it needs a form of delivery method. But
Can we still, is exosomes, is the study on the exosomes, drinking the exosomes still? Like with the dairy still?
Yes.
Okay. Just wondering.
Yes. That's so much tech. There's so much to go into.
And every day there's new research.
I think what I really wanted to cover in this podcast is, you know,
did we cover it
a little bit? I think so. A little bit about who you are, how you became going into pro boxing, and now you're going back, and you got signed with Combate now.
So I've been signed with Combate. Now I got Anthony Pettis wanting me, so I'm going to see which contract I like better.
Just doing both.
Yeah, I can.
Can you do that?
Yeah, Combate is really cool, and I'm sure Pettis isn't going to care.
Yeah. Remember when we were going to inject the president of Combate?
Yeah. Oh God, that turned out weird. And then he was trying to get us into the president of Mexico.
Thank God. You know, that's where I say.
No, but that came out later that she made that all up. But
I know.
It
but people don't, the listeners don't know what
they don't
you're
care next
about.
Time. Yeah.
I think for me, it's just like when things hit the fan, I'm always like, God, you protected me from something.
No, it is. Everything happens for a reason. Like, so whenever I was stuck in bed this 8 months, I was always looking for like 7, 8 months. Cause now I'm like doing the math. Oh, wait, it's longer than I thought. But I was like, I thought, I got distracted. Just kidding.
Yeah.
What was it? I forgot, whatever. Next.
Yeah.
Next.
We were talking about Combate, the president, and all that shit that went down with the tabloids. And then
I don't remember
that weekend.
With that. I'm surprised it's the first time I've lost something in my brain today on this podcast.
I know. You're actually high functioning person that remembers every single little detail. Like if I turn in, you're like, oh, that plant, it looks beautiful. I remember that. I'm like, what the?
I was like,
I don't. I'm like, I store everything in short term memory because it's just too much going on. You can see I make people write everything down for me. There's a board. There is like a sauna.
You always have your note. And I actually learned that from you when I'm talking to patients and stuff. You know what I did? I started just recording all
everything.
I used to record all my conversations with people. Like not
plus
creepy.
I do notes on my phone. Plus I have my calendars. Plus I on top of that, because even if calendar reminder comes up and then I got caught up in something else, I'm like, you have to call and remind me 15 minutes prior. It's just so chaotic.
Dude, that's how I was. Be like, if I don't call you back, you just call me back. Don't hesitate. Because I'm like, I'm horrible.
No, you just won't hear from me.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. If you need to talk to me and I don't answer, you have to call me back. Because
I'm the same way. Sometimes our calls have dropped and we're like, okay, well, we were over that conversation.
Yeah, all right, nice. 2 months later, I'm here. That's the thing about me. I'll be like, I'm going to come there 3 months. And then all of a sudden I show up and people are like, wait, you didn't tell me. I'm like, I told you 3 months ago I was coming.
Yeah, no, you really are like that. and I'm cool with it because I knew I had it down on the calendar that you were actually going to be coming down this weekend.
Yeah.
I knew that I wasn't going to have the kids on the weekend that you were going to come. I'm like, we specifically were going to plan to go skiing.
Well, and that's
the snowboarding.
Thing. Entrepreneurs, that's the thing. It's like, so like people 9 to 5, even the doctors, the lawyers that like, they have that like 9 to 5 personality mentality. They don't understand the entrepreneur mentality. They don't understand that. They can't wrap their minds around it, even at the most
successful.
You know
what I hate? I hate the same shit every day.
Oh, God.
I can't. Mm-hmm. Like everybody in my family is like, you're never going to find somebody because you just can't like,
you're too fickle.
Stay still. You're just all over the place. Like
you're a little fickle.
And I go, I'm like water. Like if I don't like say I have something planned and then I'll be like, yeah, that's canceled. I'm going to do something else. Like it's so last minute and it drives everybody nuts. And I'm like, I don't care.
That's me. Wow. God, you know that.
I'm like, I'm
that's why we get
schedule.
Along so well.
I piss everybody off.
Yeah. You did that today and yesterday. You did it every day. I think I see it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say any name. I'm not going to name.
Thank
any
God
names.
I haven't pissed off any of my business partners. They love me.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to name any names, but it rhymes with Smith Schmall.
Who the fuck is that?
Roll.
My brother. He comes on. Everybody's like, who the fuck's our brother? Because I'm always like, my brother.
Oh, you got how many of them? No.
There's a lot.
But you have one that you work with.
Yeah, one that is like my ride or die.
Who does
a
lot for
you. He's my bestie.
You.
Does everything for me.
Yeah.
So he also bitches me out. That's why I told you to kick his ass yesterday.
He's allowed to, though.
He's so big. Yeah. He just throws his weight around. He's like.
Yeah, then he steps on my hair.
You got to take him next door on the mats and kick his ass. Because you said that you pinned somebody over 300 pounds. So.
Oh, that's easy. He doesn't even know how to wrestle. I tapped him out.
That sounds like
a challenge.
Yeah, a challenge.
It's not a threat. It's a promise.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, I want to pull up this scene because we were talking about the drama with the whole Oscar De La Hoya and
I didn't get to see this yet.
King Ryan and all this fight.
Why does he call himself King Ryan?
I don't know. But if you could pull it up. Okay, so real quick before it goes. So there's a press conference. Ryan Garcia fought, a.k.a. King Ryan, and he came out and there was some drama, you know.
I love B-Hop. I love Bernard Hopkins. He's one of my favorites.
Yeah, well, he gets into it with him too. So check this out.
I love B-Hop.
So...
Man, it was such a sad day when he beat...
Check this out.
Cotto.
This is pre-fight,
I've
by the way.
I've never been a Ryan Garcia fan, by the way.
Good afternoon, everybody.
And he's right behind him in the camera.
I want to give thanks to the Most High, Jesus Christ. I also want to invite the Holy Spirit into this press conference. Just always want to invite him. Man, a couple things I want to touch. You know, one thing that's been on my heart is the statements that Bernard made where he'll decide if I'm going to finish.
You see Bernard in the background?
Boxing after this fight. He don't decide that. My coach does, my team does, everybody that, you know, grinds with me day in and day out, that's who decides, and ultimately God decides, not him. Nobody was telling him when to stop boxing. You know, he stopped boxing at 145, so kudos to him. But he don't determine that. And another thing I want to touch on is, you know, Oscar saying that, you know, we misinterpret.
Look at Oscar's face.
You know, what they say. So, it's plain English. I didn't hear anybody speaking any language I don't know. So, you know, it's very clear to me that, you know, they're backing this guy to beat me just like they thought Nino was going to beat me. He was the next Filipino star. They say he's
the next rubbing his eyes. Because eyeballs, you know, just started sweating.
I put everything into this fight. You know,
this is promoter.
Time, I'm extremely committed in a long time.
I mean, like,
2021.
Get him rid of
one
him.
One of the times he kind of broke me. 2022, you know, changed me. 2023,
damn, I hear the cameras.
Eyes, I'm going to come back. Come back for everything. You
go
know,
you.
I'm just laser and I'm laser focused. That's what my problem is.
Oh, shit. And he got applause.
And I want to thank, you know, everybody. I want to thank my strength and conditioning coach. He's been there more than.
Look at this guy up in the front. He's like, what?
Mentally, spiritually, shout out Cipriano Montes, but he called Sip. Shout out my dad.
Okay, so we have this one. And then do you have the one of Bernard? Can we pull up the one of Bernard Hopkins talking shit to him?
Somebody's getting a little high on their horse there.
Yeah, that was...
Mainly, you know, about where they're going to go and what they would like to do next. They want to be one day main event. They want to build a top car. So why did I say that? Because this is a moment for all the ones who's on the undercard to be main event soon. One thing for sure, and I've been 28 years in this business of boxing, in the ring. 28 years.
You fought for 28 years? Yeah. Wow.
One thing about boxing, I close with this, it will call your bluff.
Bye, Ryan. Bye.
Shit, he ain't getting a fight.
Look at him.
And he's right there. It's almost like, you know, my whole thing was like.
He loves it. Look at that.
There's no, well, you taught me there's no such thing as bad press, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I figure if
nobody does.
I don't give a shit about what I say in this podcast because I'm like, I'm sure there's going to be some tabloids.
But the difference is, there's no such thing as bad press is if nobody knows you. If nobody knows you, they don't give a fuck. But if they know you, yeah, there's no such thing as bad press.
Well, they set him right there for a reason.
Yeah.
Right? And then he's standing right behind him when he's talking shit. So I sent this to JoJo and I'm like, hey, bro, is this real? Is this real drama?
Did you see me? I was like.
He said, that's real drama.
You look at her reactions.
Yeah, no, that was real. He first started looking and then he started rubbing his eyes real hard. Like, yeah. He started sweating. And yeah, I can't believe you didn't see the shit.
No, I never, not until you told me about it. So like, that's the thing is, I've never been a Ryan Garcia fan, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to sound insensitive, but when he came out with, I need to take mental health off and this and that, you know what, if that's the issue, you don't fucking say it. Like, you're giving your opponent an insight that they can break you mentally. You don't do that, ever.
As a fighter.
No, as a fighter, no, you don't. I keep hitting my chair, sorry.
I wouldn't even do that as an ex-wife.
Yeah, exactly. You don't put your personal, like, for me, like, so really quick, you know, my name is Your Majesty online. I call myself a queen, and I'm my followers peasants. That came after the reality show I was on. I was on Tough 20. Because after that, I had death threats. People were threatening to kill me and telling me to kill myself and my daughter and threatening my daughter's life. So I was like, fuck these assholes. They're all, like, the masses are asses, as I say. And I was like, They're all my fucking peasants. All the time. They're all my fucking peasants now. That's how the queen was born. Yeah. Assholes. Jesus. Freaks.
What about when you went on TMZ News because you got into it with Cyborg?
Let's save that for the next one. Wrong. No, let's save that.
Can you pull up a video of this shit?
Oh, respect me.
Cyborg. Did they get that on video?
Yeah.
Cyborg hitting you?
Actually,
I want to see this shit.
Okay, we have to talk about that another one because we got stuff to go. No, it was weird. The minute that she hits me, it, like somebody walks into the camera. But Dana has the other one. He never gave it to me, asshole.
What am I pointing?
Angela Magana, Chris Cyborg punch, something like that.
Let's see this. I've never Googled this. I just seen you come out. I mean, like, I've seen Cyborg. Some stuff, but not. Yeah. Oh, God. Let's see this shit.
That one right there. I actually gave that to my friend for him to post it, that video.
Let's see what this
is. Oh, we got to turn the volume up.
You heard that shit.
I came walking forward too. I was like ready and they wouldn't let me do
it. Dude, you're getting heated. Like this fight's about to start again. Yeah. I shouldn't have done this before we go to Disneyland.
Respect me, respect.
God, she's all over TMZ.
I don't know if I want to watch
there. She is.
A crime was committed. Do you feel like you were assaulted by
no makeup?
100%.
Are you exploring legal options?
I love how you put your chin up.
Things like that.
I've already retained a lawyer.
Oh, shit.
Are you going to be suing Cyborg?
Of course. Most definitely. I have medical bills. I'm not going to pay those.
What do you believe should happen to Cyborg, if anything, from the UFC's standpoint as a result of the incident?
Isn't this great, rewatching this show?
Honestly, I've never watched it. About that.
I've never even watched this.
And with you asking me now, the first thing that pops in my head is, well, whatever they deem fit, I really don't have a thought on that. I've thought more about what's going to happen criminally. I have another interview on the phone with the DA again this afternoon. I've been in talks with them.
Dude, you don't even look the same.
They are going to be pressing felony assault charges.
What happened? I don't even look like you.
Because of my teeth, I have my retainer in.
Oh, I was going to say.
Bro, that's like a professional voice right there.
Yeah, dude, that was like your press conference voice, huh?
Yeah, I'm good at ambush media. That's the thing. You ambush media me, I'm good at that.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Oh, like, I never thought. So you know what happened? I didn't go. Hey, I didn't pursue the charges.
Let's Google Angela Magana. I want to see what comes up on YouTube.
Oh, my God.
Let's see.
Just do it on Google.
No, we don't want to do that. Too much shit will come up.
Oh, that was me in the UFC.
Let's see.
Social media taunts backfire? What is that? I don't know. Oh, that's
this is face off. Let's see. Keep going down. Keep scrolling.
Has a habit.
She does her homework, huh?
Oh, I'm a bad girl.
Keep going. Oh my God. I'm like, what the fuck? Gabby Garcia is crazy.
Dude, screw that.
Keep going. That's with Rhonda.
Screw that, dude. Gabby Garcia.
Seriously.
And that dude Cyborg. Some of my old fights. Oh, that was me after I went into a coma when I had my back surgery.
Let's see.
Oh my God, I've never watched. I don't want to cry. No, I don't never seen this before. I haven't seen this. Oh my God, I don't know about this. Okay, let's see this. My lip.
Hey guys. I'm awake. I still feel very tired. Like I can barely open my eyes.
It's in the hospital.
But thank you everybody for thinking about me. You know?
You're all doped up.
I feel like I'm a very rich woman because I have a lot of time.
There's a kid in the background screaming.
I almost lost all my
time. The mom in me is like, be quiet.
But,
I don't know. That's the hospital.
To take time to wish somebody well, you know.
Oh, my God. I start crying.
What do we do with time? Nobody's ever recorded me crying. So time is more valuable than money.
I am not the person to stay serious when you start crying. I've never seen your crying face.
That's laughing. That's why I'm laughing at myself crying. Oh my God, I'm ugly crier. Turn that off. Jesus.
Hold on.
I'm taking this down.
I got to record this.
I'm taking this down.
That right there is like a Kim Kardashian face. Let me see that real quick. Can you take your finger off that? Yeah, there you go. Look at that.
I've never watched this. Oh, thanks, Raul.
Blow it up for me, please.
It's blown the F up.
You had no Botox there.
I don't have Botox. I did it one time. Look, I still need it. Look.
That's pretty awesome, though. Can we do Botox this week?
Oh, thanks.
After you're watching your lines, you're like, I need Botox this week.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we covered everything. Do you need anything else covered?
Oh, just
anything
like, hey, guys, I'm also a gym owner. I have my gym, Team LaPerla. Oh,
dude, we totally left out
everything. Dude, we have to. We were coming back again this
week.
Yeah,
but I wanted to cover you primarily, you know, because I think that there's a whole other thing on like dude, what you
the fact
do
that I grew up as a heroin fighters? Addict, though, like that, I like to talk about that. My mom and dad were heroin addicts. I was born addicted to heroin. Yeah. Well, that was, she lived. She survived that. She overdosed later. I was a heroin fetus. That's
Who says that?
I love it.
Oh my god.
Oh, but yeah, we'll get into that one next time. But yeah, I mean, just
we'll
the
get
fact
into
that,
some of that stuff.
The
I
fact
mean,
that I'm able to do
story.
What I've done. The fact that I'm able to do what I've done is incredible.
Well, that's how you travel now. So fast forward. It's not just like you're fired. Most fighters are broke. So I mean, you get your money because you are a management.
I manage. I coach. I work as a cut man. Woman. Yeah, sorry, do. Not you man. Do. I'm a cut woman.
Very well
I'm very
connected in the boxing world. I mean, yeah. You've connected us. Thrown us on a Canelo card with our brand
Stitch,
on there
yeah.
with Stitch. I mean,
yeah.
He hooked me up with Tuto, yeah. Canelo's old promoter.
Manager.
Yeah.
He still gets a percentage to this day every time Canelo fights.
I know. And he's amazing.
I love Tuto.
Which they've, you know, brought us in with, you know, World Boxing Organization guys.
Yeah, that's so cool crazy. That maybe our logo's on their canvas now.
Yeah.
The canvas.
They've done like the movie Creed, all kinds of shit.
Yeah.
Now we're doing like celebrities and, I mean, I don't really get into it, but my whole thing, it's weird. It's like what it's going into is like the fighters. I love working with the yeah. with the boxers primarily. UFC, boxers, I love the boxing.
The
world.
Boxers need it more because they have more brain damage, to be honest.
Well, I think it's just there's a lot more going on in the boxing world.
Because it's older, it's been around forever. So mm-hmm. a lot more politics, a lot more stuff.
They make more money. It's not a broke industry. I think what killed it for me with the UFC is like they took the sponsors away.
Yeah, no, that was disgusting.
And so that's super disgusting. And now you have fighters that are like injured. And
I made more money off my first fight than I did.
I mean, look
at
Nico Montano.
Montano, yeah. So I made more off my first fight ever than I did on my first fight with the UFC.
Yeah.
Because of the sponsors.
Yeah.
We couldn't have sponsors.
Yeah, they took so they took them away, and then now
they made us wear Reebok. Now it's Venom or some shit. But no, I don't want to trash. I love Dana. Me and Dana are still friends. But Dana doesn't have a lot of control. They sold the company.
It's what the UFC did.
Yeah.
It's not Dana.
But Dana doesn't control the company anymore. He had a lot more control because they sold it, and he's just works
for them
now.
It's just bullshit. It's like that they made the money with Reebok, and then they're just throwing pennies at the fighters. And then they're like, oh, sorry, nobody else could sponsor you. So it's like you have broke fighters that can't even make the money.
Well, that's why all the girls doing OnlyFans now. I even had a coach tell me, I was like, Angela,
I'm so happy.
I'm so happy.
That's how I made it post-divorce.
Yeah. I'm so happy you're not doing OnlyFans. Like, I'm like, bitch, I control money. Money doesn't control me.
If you guys see
not.
My feet on the internet,
just shh.
Mind your own.
She's got a little tattoo on her toe of a smiley face just so you can recognize it. No, you don't. Just kidding.
No, they're going to see that shit. All smiley faces.
Oh, but it was Raquel. I'm going to put a smiley face on your foot and take a picture right now.
No, it's because the funny part about it is you really know that there's like weirdos,
clients of mine
that want pictures of my feet.
Yeah.
That have actually asked for pictures of my feet. I sent one guy one.
You bad, bad.
It was a bribe. I was like, I'll send you a picture of my feet if you send me your workouts. I need them for another fighter.
Do you know how much dick pics and feet offers I get? I won't do that shit.
They offer it or they just send it?
No, offers of sending me my feet. You know, I get like people are like, oh, well, I have a guy. Never mind. I'm not going to say this because I don't want to ruin anything.
I've had a guy came in here. He comes in often. And I will tell you, okay, because you're going to see this patient here this week. And I'm not going to say who, but he'll know who. But he has like this prosthetic penis, okay, that's like, you know, I don't know what it's called, but it's like an implant. And it stays permanently hard. This thing's got to be like 12 inches long. And it just... And he wears sweats all the time on purpose, and he's old. He's like 60 years old, and not even.
Gray
like,
sweats?
Like
does
seven.
He wear gray sweats?
Gray sweats,
are
red
you fucking
sweats.
Fucking kidding me.
Doesn't wear the black ones.
Men know exactly what they're doing when they
and
wear
no,
gray sweats.
And no, not only that, but he puts his hands behind his head like this, and he pushes his pelvis out, and he's like, here for my appointment. And we're like, dude, and it doesn't even hang low, so you can't see the tip. Like, that shit, in my it's fucking up my peripheral view. Like, you can't get away from it. My whole staff, everybody is like laughing. All the medical staff's like, dude, I almost tripped over the IV pole. Like, it's just
men
so
are
big.
Such idiots.
And not only that, during the consult, takes his shirt off and is like flexing. And then, you know how guys like to like move their junk or whatever? Like, they
just adjust.
Yeah, they adjust it or whatever. You adjust too.
Yeah, I'm a dude.
You've been around
Angela.
Him so much.
Well, there's
that. You adjust too. Well, no, like he adjusts, like, which is the normal. You see guys do that shit all the time. But when he adjusts, he stands that shit up like a TB tent in his fucking pants. And it's standing straight up. And
the thing I'm is, like, it's like, dude.
And then my mom, so nobody asked him, how many kids you got? I'm like, why would you ask that? Of all things.
It's all zero.
You
know? It doesn't work.
No, he's like, I got many all over. I'm like, oh my God.
Oh, that's a great answer.
Not getting involved.
No, but for me, it's just like, okay, guys out there, don't send dick pics, please. Like, unless you're my dick and you belong to me and I'm missing you and we're not with each other, that's okay. But like, no woman is going to be, penises are not pretty. Oh, pretty penis, let's go. Or like a guy showing his boner. It's like, women, we fall in love with our ears, not our eyes. Guys fall in love with their eyes. So like, that's not going to work, dudes. It's not, your dick pics aren't going to work. And if it does, it's probably a prostitute.
Poem. Send a poem.
Yeah, send a poem.
Send a meme.
Or unless you're just trying to get with those prostitutes. And yeah, but like, even prostitutes, they don't want a big dick.
That's so funny. Oh my God, yeah. Well, we had a fun week so far. You're going to stay here. We don't know when you're going to be gone, but we have a fun day planned today. Usually when I have podcast day, I take my guests to do something fun.
I'm going
to
be your guest every week then. So.
She's not leaving. Great. She's going to live in my guest suite now.
Mariah, out.
So because I fucked up my knee, you're going to push me around. We're going to get to the front of the line over here at Disneyland everywhere. We got a double date.
Even if you didn't break your knee, I would have pretended like you did so we could do that.
No, it's really injured. I know everybody was reaching out to
you. They thought it was a joke.
I really did mess it up. Actually, what people don't know is when you found me, I was like in a back bend.
Yeah. No, we haven't.
I couldn't get out of the position that I was here, stuck in.
We need to load that. And then the helicopter coming that I was joking. And
oh my God, that's so funny.
Yeah, we need to load that.
No, and then it really, ski patrol really did come. And I was like, hell to the no, I'm not getting drug off this mountain. I know that shit would get released and recorded by you. That would have definitely
just like you coming downstairs or last night in the wheelchair in the mobile unit.
That should have been on YouTube.
I'm hungry. We got to go. Just kidding.
We're done and we're going to go enjoy our day. So check it out, guys. Thanks.
All right. Bye, guys.